This is RSBNB Update, episode 147, recorded Thursday, April 3rd, 2008. Clap your hands! Hello, everybody. RSBNB Update 147. Brad is here this week, as some of you might have had a little shock last week because of what you heard on the clip show. Or no, not the clip show. The live show or
that I can't believe you posted because I sound like an idiot. Even though I've not listened to it again. I don't really want to listen to it again. But
yes, so... that was just our little April Fool's joke, so that's how that went. And if you are subscribed on iTunes, you would have gotten episode 146A explaining it. One more reason to subscribe on iTunes, you know? Just press the little
The other reason
button.
Is Shane wants to boost us up the high score table, because we're currently only 11th or something.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways,
so
I think
we should...
You can
have iTunes subscribe, because it will placate Shane.
It'll make both of us nice and happy and make us giggle and sleep easier.
Giggle. Well, just like that. Just like I giggled then.
Yeah.
Oh, I sound like a girl. Okay, let's get going before I
okay.
mean myself.
RuneScape updates, summoning part 2, batch 2, whatever the heck you want to call it, you know?
Oh, well, at least they're expanding it.
Yeah, you know that Ferengi rule of acquisition, expand or die.
Jagex seems to be doing both, expanding and dying the whole real-world trading thing.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
that was
true.
Weak.
What?
It
makes sense. Expand or die. If you don't expand, your business will die.
Just like the whole, the more things change, the more...
Oh, please. Nah, we're not going to go debating that.
Finally, Shane doesn't want to talk about it. Yeah.
Because I just explained it the other day on the forums.
Yeah, and we all agreed that your explanation doesn't match the saying.
It does, it does, it does. Gosh. Anyways, let's recap Summoning Batch 2. This is basically the player's feedback worked into summoning. For starters, familiars now stay out for a set period of time rather than staying out for, An allotted time for each familiar. For instance, the Spirit Wolf stays out for 6 minutes, whereas the Dreadfell stays out for 4 minutes.
So they don't stay out forever anymore?
No, they don't. Well, they never
did
used...
Did they before?
No.
Oh.
They only used
How long did they stay?
2 minutes and 30 seconds, I think.
But so they've all been increased?
Yeah, so they all have been increased regarding levels and whatnot, so that's good. Oh, yeah,
Yay.
And to give an example, the Spirit Dagonoth, for example, stays out for a whopping 57 minutes.
57?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a random number, isn't it? And did they just pull that out of their ass?
No. That's because it's at level 83. It fights combat control, and it has a special called the Spike Shot.
Okay.
Secondly... The familiars weren't rewarding enough, so they basically rewarded them all to have better benefits. One example they give is that it makes it easier, or it makes it so you'll actually want to use the pouch rather than alking it. Because, you know, there's certain things like the abyssal familiars that can hold more, that can hold pure or regular rune essence, so this can increase your nature rune crafting. So,
how much do pouches alk for, out of interest?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know one of the ones I tested was like 1500 something. It's different for each pouch. Because the problem was with this is that it was summoning was actually good to train because it was a good way to raise your magic level. Because you'd make money elking the pouches, and you haven't been able to make money elking anything for a long, long time.
Ever since the whole real world trading
way before
the whole
that,
U-log.
Way
really
before,
way before that.
Yeah, before, like, we're talking here before 2006, when I was a noob. That's when it
No, I remember in 2006 being able to make money from the U-Log thing.
Yeah,
the
but
whole
not
making
as
you...
yeah, but not as much as you could
yeah,
when
but
I was
you
doing
could
it.
still turn a profit.
Yeah, a small profit.
And a profit is still enough because you're basically getting free XP plus profit.
Yeah, well, summoning is still good to do that, so that should be your new skill if you want to make money. And combat familiars now give combat XP depending on what class they fall into, either control, attack, strength, defense, whatnot.
So the damage they hit for you get
is becomes
experience
yours.
for.
So,
Oh, that's good.
So I like that idea. But, you
that
know,
is a good idea.
It's good in theory, but once again, it's the whole multi-combat issue. You can't use it in single-way combat.
Oh, that's stupid.
Now, I go to the spiritual mages lots, but I'm just wondering if I take something there, how will this work? Because do these things go off and attack like any creature? Because if they do, that's a problem. But if they're attacking the same mage, I guess that could be good. But I don't know.
I don't see what the whole deal is with the single combat, multi-combat zones anyway. Surely they should all be multi.
Why?
Well, what does having single combat zones solve?
It ensures that you get the soul XP and soul drops for that monster that you're killing.
Well, basically, what Jagex should do then, they should introduce a system whereby if you attack a mob, let's say once, and do, I don't know, 12, 16 points of damage to it, that mob should then exclusively only give experience to you.
Mob?
So nobody else can come in and steal. Then they could have multi-combat everywhere.
What's a mob?
Oh, monster, you know. It's...
Oh, okay. Is this a World of Warcraft term?
No, it's used in lots of games.
Okay. So, I don't know. I think so far this, up to what we've read so far, is enough to make me want to do summoning. Minus the cash thing, but anyway.
Well, yeah, assuming it makes money.
Yeah, hopefully. Taking your combat into familiar into battle will review our next improvement. Each creature is significantly tougher. They can soak up damage like never before and will hit harder. Useful for challenges like the God Wars dungeon. Maybe, maybe not. I haven't been to Bandos or Ceridomen since they've been updated, so I'll have to wait and see. Any thoughts on that one?
No.
Okay. Acquiring charms has been easier. They've made 20 of the Slayer creatures that didn't drop them before drop charms now.
And okay, whole part making summoning easier, yes, I see.
Also, you can thieve them from chests in Dorgish Khan.
What thieving level do the chests require?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me look that up in the knowledge base, see if they put that in. Oops, clicked on the wrong one. So, let's see. Thieving. Chests. Let's see. Charm. Okay. Dorgesh Khan, average chest, requires level 52. Yeah, so level 52 thieving.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Probably about right.
It doesn't say anything about the rich chest. It doesn't say if there's any in the rich chest, so I don't know. But I don't know, that's good. Making summoning a tad easier. What else is there? Oh yeah, miniature obelisks around the world so you can recharge your points, basically like summoning altars. Because the only place you could recharge them before was where you were able to create pouches, which was a bit of a pain, unless you wanted to use a summoning potion. More headgear and headdresses that can hold scrolls. So basically, this means that your existing helmet can be enchanted to hold your summoning scrolls. So if you want to summon something, I don't know what you do. You just pull it out of your head. And of course, the new creatures, which they had originally discussed, saying humanoid creatures that don't only have a killer punch significantly increase your chance of success mining or boil mining or fire making. Ah, so I don't know. See, that's what interests me, because you know there's a familiar that gives you acts as a tinderbox and lets you get 10 extra XP when fire making. So, doesn't that seem very nice?
Yes. I don't know. I think it's good they finally got a use for those eggs, though.
Yeah, they've had a use. I don't know. You can only have one at
what?
What?
Before the show, you said that was, and they didn't have
no,
a use.
No, not
until
the
now.
Eggs, the proboscises.
The proboscis. Oh yeah, right. Those. Things.
Nah, not the eggs. The proboscis. Yeah, the eggs you can only have one at a time. But sure, you can use proboscis for whatever you want. The proboscis is.
You lied
are,
to me, Shane.
It was. You thought I was talking about eggs, but.
No, you were talking about eggs, you liar.
I was talking about eggs, because you mentioned eggs. Anyway, so, check out Summoning Batch 2. I'd have to give this one 4 out of 5 for making summoning actually seeming like a more worthy skill than just rather the infamous pouch making, you know?
Yeah, so. I'll have to give them 4 as well, again, because there's an actual use for it now, and it's not training for the sake of it.
Okay. Gnome
Plus
copters.
The combat XP thing is nice.
Yeah, gnome copters.
I read briefly about this update, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it simply for free-to-players to see this is what you could have if you're a member?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's basically trying to get Jagex more money.
Look at that picture I sent you. That's how it starts. And then you go to wherever you
Loading.
Want.
Go to wherever you want.
Yeah, like you can choose an area and then it'll basically take you through that area. Not the real area, just cutscenes of it, you know? So it's rather
so
interesting.
It's basically, it looks like it's strapped into a dentist chair that's upright.
It looks like one of those rocket things, you know? From the James
Rocket
Bond movie.
Man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I suppose you don't like Elton John, do you, Shane?
No. No. But it's rather interesting how this turned out. It looks funny, but yeah, of course, just another gimmick for getting free-to-players to sign up.
Which I think is quite sad. Personally.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Gimmicky.
It was fun. Anyways, Abyssal Bracelets have been changed to 4 and 3. Is that how you say that on the wiki?
4 and 3?
Yeah.
4 and 3?
Yeah. I don't know, but they've been changed to that name, and they have the same effect as before, as protecting you when going into the runecrafting abyss, and then it also lets you teleport away from wilderness reverend ghosts.
That is helpful.
Yeah, the godforsaken things, but, you know?
That should help the agility trainers.
Yes, but the question is, where does it take you?
Right in the path for another one. I would laugh. Well, you know I wouldn't. I'd probably cry.
Yes, you would cry. Anyway,
Shane cries. Shane cries himself to sleep every night.
No. So, that's that. And then now, here's a little subtle hidden update. You got like a cat in there or something?
No, that was me drinking.
Okay. The Dragon Kite.
Is this a real update?
Yes! Yes.
Okay, I didn't think it was. I thought it was an April Fool's.
It's real. It's a very real update, you know?
How do you get them?
Yeah. Huh?
How do you get them?
Oh, you get them through talking to a guy and then going to fight things. Actually.
So everyone can get one?
Yeah, everyone can get one. This guy's name is Diango in Drainer Village.
So it is an April Fool's joke.
But it's a kite that you can fly.
No.
And then if you perform an action, it makes it like you're trying to hold it in the wind, you know? Because it's like the wind is trying to take it away. You ever go kite flying?
Maybe when I was 5.
I went kite flying
that's
before.
That's such a crap April Fool's joke. I knew it was an April Fool's joke.
That's like the dragon plates.
It's just like the, yeah, and it's just like, didn't they say one year on April Fool's that they bought out horses, but it turned out to be those little toy horses?
Yeah.
Jagex are assholes.
No. Anyways, so a bit of an April Fool's joke on Jagex's part, but it's always funny to see this, you know?
They can go kill themselves. Okay. I don't think people laugh at what I say. People laugh at you laughing at what I say. Oh, Christ.
You need a tranquilizer?
Yes, please. Several hundred thousand.
Okay, million. On to the poll. A friend indeed. 63,310 votes. Question one. Answer this truthfully. Are you male or female?
Female.
90% say male.
I refuse to believe that 10%.
Only 6,500 who voted in this poll?
No, I don't believe that 10%.
I know, it doesn't. That doesn't seem.
That seems way too high to me. Well, actually, no, I don't know.
I think it seems too low.
Really?
Yeah.
Shows what you know.
It seems low. So, I don't know. But
if you think, right, how many girls have there been on RSVNB in a few years? There's probably been one, two. I can think of about five, I think. Definitely on RSVNB in the past years, it has been a veritable sausage fest. There have been way more guys than girls.
I will have to agree with that. So, I guess maybe it's true. I don't know. If you're a girl and you listen to the show, send a PM to Brad or myself.
To me. No, don't.
So we can get an accurate representation of our listener base.
And didn't you have that,
the survey thing?
The survey thing that they did ages
ago. I took it down. Because somebody said it asked them about what kind of marriage they'd like.
Sexual orientation.
Yeah.
What is your sexual orientation?
I don't think we're collecting on that anymore. But.
And you should put up another survey so we can find out the demographic. Like, not just one you make yourself, like age, sex.
Yeah.
How much they hate you, how much they love me, you know, all the normal stuff.
Okay. How did you find out about RuneScape? 46,935 people say friend.
Friend, yes, sadly.
Me too. 10,580 family member?
Oh, God.
Why?
I'm just... So the whole word of mouth thing really worked for Jagex. I never had to spend that much on advertising.
6,440, say, other website. 269...
Mini clip.
Yeah, I know. That thing needs to go die, you know?
You need to go die.
Did you come from Mini Clip?
No, I told you, my friend.
Oh, right. 269 votes, newspaper. Wonder what newspaper that would be.
I don't know. How did you know Jagex advertised in newspapers?
Magazine, 446. Search engine, 2486. Other, 3754. Okay, next question.
I don't have the poll open.
Well, get it open for the last three, then. Do you play RuneScape on high detail or low detail?
Low detail, always will.
I always played on high detail.
Yeah, and well, I'm better than you.
61% say hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm fine.
Low detail, 11%, because it's what I've always used.
Low detail because it's what I've always used.
10% low detail because house roofs get in my way. 8% because the extra detail gets in the way. 5% my computer is not fast enough for high detail.
Why?
4% my internet is too slow for high detail. And 4% again for low detail, reasons not mentioned here. So I guess that's safe to say that they still have to keep the low detail option, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Next question.
Next question. In a second. Think about your friends who play RuneScape. I would rather not. How many of them did you know before you started playing RuneScape?
I honestly have no idea.
1 to 2. Oh, come on. How many friends do you know who play RuneScape?
RuneScape friends?
No, RuneScape friends who you knew before you started playing RuneScape. Christ, it's difficult.
That would be, yeah, two. Alex and Mike.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mike.
What about you?
One.
Okay. Do you belong to a clan?
No.
52% say yes, 48% no.
You know, yeah, well, that's weird because when this, wrong.
Cause this first came, when this first came up, the options were reversed.
Were they?
Yeah. 52% said no, 48% said yes. So that's interesting. Okay. How many clans do you belong to? None, 46%.
28.
7% belong to 5 plus. 31% 1, 10% 2, and I'm not going to bother with the other numbers. Last question for you, Brad.
The last question. How many people in your clan do you know in real life? 33% 1 with I do not belong to any clans. None with second with, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we can safely say the majority of people either aren't in clans or don't know the people in their clans in real life.
Exactly.
But in real life sucks, let's face it.
No, it doesn't.
How dare you?
Anyways, that means it's time to go on to, onwards to questions. We got an audio question from PFK99s. We like audio questions, so if you want to send an audio question, it can go to questions@rsbnb.com. Wave or MP3, please.
Wave.
Given the new summoning rebalance, do you think that you'll use the majority of your pouches or stick with high alking them? Given my experience, I can only see using the Spirit Terror Bird, given that it's cost-efficient to make and it expands your usable inventory by 12 spaces. Everything else that I make will probably end up adding to my magic experience.
So?
No answer.
Most of them are probably crap, like the herb ones, the herb call. That the herbs aren't really that much worth it, but, you know, the ones that can actually... The Beast of Burden ones that can hold things, I would probably end up using. Because, you know, like, for instance, Spirit Calphite, 6 inventory slots. Bull Ant, 9 inventory slots. Spirit Terror Bird, 12 inventory slots. And then these other ones can use that, yada, yada, yada. Oh, a War Tortoise can have 18 inventory slots. And a pack yak at level 96 can have 30 inventory slots, so I don't know.
So you can use them to carry shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I personally can think of what these would be useful for, but...
I don't know. You know, if you want to... If you're, you know, trying to gather a large amount of certain material, it could cut down the number of trips you need to take
exactly.
to the bank.
Like collecting Eye of Newt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're an idiot like me, you just pay an extortionate amount and buy them. But thankfully, not everybody's like me.
So, you know, it pouches do give good money, so I guess it's still attractive to high elk them, you know? So, I don't
know.
Well,
yeah, money, money, money.
Right, maybe that's
something,
a good
something,
project.
Something in a rich man's world.
Maybe that's a good project. Hmm.
What? What's a good project?
Summoning, and then use that to raise magic. Interesting. Okay.
Is this going to be your latest plan? Is it going to be, you know, Operation Summon stuff?
No. No, Project Green Phase 2, probably. The Herblor part. The summer. That's what I'm planning on. You want to help?
No, I'm good.
Thank you, PFK99s. Remember on episode 19 when Brad challenged Shane to guess what the skill would be, and you said summoning? Are you a psychic? Do you believe in this practice? I really have no reason, but I'll say it, I do. Keep up the good work from Brian. So, no, I'm not a psychic, you know? It just seemed logical that summoning would be next. But do you believe in psychics?
No, I think Shane just took a stab in the dark.
You know, I don't really believe in these psychic people, but I do have to say that in order to guess it, I just guessed logically that, you know, we've been seeing things like the Tower of Life, the Varrock Museum, those kind of things. Is what I used to base my, what should I call it, hypothesis on? Yeah, hypothesis.
Okay, let's be honest. He took a stab in the dark.
No!
Evil. That's what he's saying.
No!
He took a lucky stab in the dark.
No, I made an educated guess.
No.
You sound like a woman when you do that.
I think you reach him as a woman.
Okay. Next question, Brad.
Okay, the next question. If you were hungry and you needed a snack, what would you eat? And do you ever play motorsports racing games? That question is from Yazaki 90. So if we wanted a snack, what would we eat? Is this like what's around the house or what would you rather have? Because I don't know.
I think it's Rick, what's around the house.
I don't know, biscuits. Which are like cookies for you American Philistines.
Chips.
Yeah, crisps, they're called here, which, you know, since we, you know, were around before you, that means we get dibs on what's called what. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, or if it's only an hour until eat time, I'll just get a glass of water.
That's not food, man.
Yes, it is.
I don't snack a lot.
It is.
I don't actually eat a lot altogether.
Oh. Well, maybe that's why you're so thin, you know, and not like you're going to, like, blow away or something.
Everybody says that to me.
Okay. Do we play racing games? Not really, but they're fun.
No.
Yes, they are
boring.
Fun. No, you know? I like
Most
it because you can smash up the cars.
You go right in a circle for several hours.
You can smash up the cars, you know, and not get hurt.
Although I do own Project Gotham Racing.
Oh, really? I got this one game that came with the 360. Forget what it was called.
Forza Motorsport.
Yes, that one. That's fun.
Because I saw Mike playing on it on Xbox Live the other day.
Yeah, that's fun. So, thank you, Yazaki. Do any of you have Bebos or know of the site Bebo?
I know of the site. I do not have one.
Yeah, neither do I. I've heard of it, but apparently it's the... Like the equivalent
it's like
of
MySpace,
except for Facebook. European people and Australians and stuff.
The only ever social networking site I've ever been a part of is MySpace, and that was because love makes you do some. That thing for me was getting a MySpace.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I cannot be held responsible for my actions. You can bleep out that F word, by the way.
Yes.
People like bleeps.
I don't really. Do any social networking sites like Facebook, MySpace, Bebo, or anything like that, in fact?
I think it's for people, no offense to anybody who uses social networking sites, because I'm sure I'm about to offend half the listener base here, but I think it's for people who have no friends.
What about using things like Twitter?
Actually, no, thinking about it, it probably is a good way to keep in touch with friends if, you know, they don't use MSN or you don't see them often.
Good place to post family pictures.
But I mean... I keep in touch with my friends via phone.
Oh, phone.
Email,
ugh.
MSN. What's wrong with the phone? I make lots of phone calls.
I just prefer typing, you know? Like.
Yeah, but you can't hear the person's voice.
Yeah, you can.
Unless they have an ugly voice. In
Get
which case,
Skype.
It would be better to use MSN.
Anybody who's been on the show before, and I talk to them on MSN, when I talk to them, I picture their voice coming through MSN.
That's freaky, Shane. You shouldn't tell people stuff like that. It makes them want to avoid you.
Oh, well. Okay, next one.
Next question, Shane.
Oh, that was from Addison, 396. Forgot the name.
Sorry, we almost forgot your name. What is a CMOS battery? I know it is tempting to do the clocks on desktops. It currently displays January the 1st, 1980. Also, how would I go about replacing it? The question is... Solar 24.
So, Brad, what's your answer?
CMOS stands for current method of sizing. I don't know.
CMOS, complementary metal oxide semiconductor.
Okay, I was close.
Anyways, basically this battery keeps power, a constant flow of power on your motherboard. So that when your computer's...
No, on your motherboard.
When your computer's turned off, your computer does not forget the date and time that's set. So, in effect, to do this, to replace it, all you really have to do is open up the case, It's like a watch battery, except it's a bit bigger, you know? Maybe, 1.5 centimeters in diameter.
I never had to replace that on any of the computers I've owned.
That's weird. Normally they last around 3 to 4 years.
I've never had a computer longer than 3 to 4 years.
Okay, well, that's why. Basically, just pop it out, get a new battery, pop it back in. Simple as that. So you just have to look inside on the motherboard and make sure you ground yourself or something before you start touching things in there, because you don't want to zap something in there. That'd be bad. You'll be buying more than a battery in that case.
And you don't want to, like, take a hammer to the inside of your computer, either.
No, or a screwdriver.
Even if it feels like a good stress reliever, you will regret it in the long run.
Yes. You know, there's a quote that says, beware of programmers who carry screwdrivers.
I'd say beware of anyone who carries a screwdriver around with them. That's a bit free, unless you're a handyman.
I have a set of screwdrivers on my desk right now, actually.
Shane's a serial killer.
They're for opening up the computer parts and whatnot.
They're for opening up my family's bodies.
Okay. Thank you, Sorter. Next question. I'm part of a site that started a boycott on Battlefield. EA Games is trying to charge money for additional downloadable content. That includes guns that are already balanced and can be shipped with the game at launch. Shane and Brad, what do you think of EA charging money for additional downloadable content that should be on the disc at launch? And how do you think this will change the video game industry from Vampire Low 609? Hopefully I say that right.
Well, it's just Electronic Arts being Electronic Arts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, this is the problem.
Money grabbing.
This is the problem with consoles, primarily. And computers to an extent in the EA. They charge you for a godforsaken set of maps that aren't even that good, like on Halo or Call of Duty.
Aren't the maps the heroic maps on Halo 3 now, though?
Yeah, but they're crap. They're crap.
So, yeah, that's really good, you saying they're crap. When they're going to be used for an RSB&B event at the weekend.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. They are going to be used.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that.
On the post, Creepy said, you have to have these maps downloaded, so now you're going to say the event's going to be crap. Well done, Shane.
Well, Mike and I tested them, and they are crap.
You're crap.
Oh.
And coincidentally, what is your favorite map on Halo?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, you suck on Halo. Even I
have okay. Can we get back to this? Because I just really don't think that...
It's just EA, isn't it? Money grabbing, getting money whenever
they
can.
Okay, EA, but other companies, like, just open up the game, allow people to make maps, weapons for it, mod it, and then there'll be no problems.
World of Warcraft.
Okay, there we go. So, I really just don't... Battlefield went crappy after 1942. Battlefield 2 was crap, and what's the one that comes between 2 and 1942? I forget.
No idea.
Anyways, but yes. I just really don't like that. But anyways, next one.
Next question. If you get rid of one of Jugate's updates, which would it be? That question is from Marking22, Real World Trading.
Why?
Why? I'm sorry?
Why?
You need to ask why?
Yeah.
Because it ruined the game.
But we've adapted.
No, it's ruined the game.
See, this is the quote. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Oh, no.
Because when real world trading was removed, there was a big change, right?
No, Shane.
Yes,
don't.
There was.
Just don't.
And then after that, 4 months later, we've adapted and things are the same as they were before.
Just don't.
Just
don't. That's just the point. The only reason Jagex still have members is because people just don't care enough to...
Well, you still have members.
Don't remind me.
I don't know. If I had to remove one update... Oh, that's hard. Pure Essence.
I'd remove you.
Okay, let's be serious here.
I'm being serious.
Okay, real world trading?
Yeah, I stand by that.
Okay. Thank you, Marking22. With item lending, what will happen if you die when an item is lent to you from Nike Ball of 435?
Yeah, I know. That's an interesting question.
I don't know. It'd probably just end up going back to the owner, don't you think?
Yeah, but you could, you know, you could borrow everything from a friend, and then you wouldn't have to worry about dying, because if you died, they'd just give the owners back.
Ah, that is a good point. And if you die with it and it gives back to the friend, that's creating extra items, so infinite item duplicating. Huh. So what would we do to solve this problem?
I would do nothing. It's a jolly good problem.
So you would just sit by and let it happen if somebody lost your item?
If somebody lost my item, I'd get it back. I don't see how there is duplication there.
No, no, I mean, so if I lent you, say, my Guthans, right?
Yeah.
And you went to a bounty hunter and ended up losing it, right?
Yep.
Would I get that back, or would I?
Surely you must do. Or perhaps there'll be rules that you can't wear it into bounty hunter or something. You can't wear borrowed items.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good way to get around it. Just put little restrictions on it, you know. So I don't know. That's what I gotta say on that.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. It won't be completely open.
Okay. Thank you, Nike Bala. Shane. Did you make the beginning and ending music? If by a computer program, please list it if possible. Also, how long did you take to make it if you did? Well, no, I'm really not that talented when it comes to music. So, they were made by forum members. Closeout was made by Davo338, and I know for a fact he used GarageBand to edit it, but he did play the actual instruments on his own because he has those kind of instruments. And I know the opening theme was done by a band of Alex Tomo's brother, I believe. That's how it worked out, I believe. I think. So that's where our opening musics came from and closing music. That was from Kirby. Last question for Brad.
Last question. When playing RuneScape and fighting a high-level monster, there's always the danger of disconnecting, not being able to log back in due to lag, bad internet connection, etc. This is a major problem due to the fact that RuneScape is primarily a money-making MMORPG, and in most cases, disconnecting, dying, and therefore losing items is not the player's fault. How would you go about fixing this? The question is from Anubis. I was thinking about this when I read the question. I can't think of any really obvious way you can fix it.
You know, because it could be player-made, or it could be on their end, or it could be at a router in between. You just don't know where it's losing the packets. You could find out by running a trace on the packets, but that would just be too intensive on every packet that the game sends out, you know? Because you can trace the execution of a packet, you know? But that would just be too much work for every single packet to figure out whether it's their problem or your problem or somewhere in between, or if you caused it. There's really no technical way to get around this, aside from, unless the servers were to go down or something, they could somehow revive, like do a rollback 5 minutes before it happened. But, you know,
I can't see how it would happen. Perhaps if obviously the game client must know when a player disconnects.
Yeah, it does. Right? Because it shows.
So then surely it should maybe freeze that monster. And combat wouldn't be resumed until you log back in. It's probably very much open to abuse, but it's probably something they could do. It's just whether they want to, and I can't imagine they do. Whether they would do.
Well, the problem with that is if the client knows that the connection is down, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to send the signal back to the server to stop combat.
I see.
So, it's a chicken and the egg situation, you know? So, there's really not much that can be done when it comes to network issues like that. So, I can't think of anything that would allow this to not happen, you know? So, and good question, though, because I know that happened to me once. Internet went down, and I was fighting the Steel Dragons, and when I got back, I had 15 HP, enough time to clap my hands and get out of there.
Clap your hands.
Yeah,
I really
you know.
Have a time clapping hands.
Yeah, clap your hands, you know? Because I have those gloves.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
No, I have those gloves. If you clap your hands, they teleport you.
In real life?
No.
That would be cool.
So I clap my hands and then I appear right behind you?
I would probably murder you with this blunt instrument.
Yeah, that's because you're ready to go to bed and you would not want me to be in your room at this time.
Oh, of course not.
Anyway, so interesting question there. But sadly, sometimes things like that just happen. On to tech news. Firefox 3 Beta 5 has been released. Beta 5.
Yay. Final beta. Beta, whatever.
They beat Vista's record of 2 betas. So, you know, as long as it'll make the browser better, I'm all for it. But it is.
Have you tried Beta 5 yet?
Yeah, it downloaded it automatically. So, I don't know. They say it has over 750 fixes from the previous beta, including stability, web compatibility, providing platform and user interface enhancements, resulting in the fastest Firefox ever. One thing to note is it now gets 71 out of 100 on ACID 3, on the ACID 3 test. Basically, for anyone who doesn't know, the ACID test, ACID 2 and ACID 3 test the standard compliance of browser CSS rendering. I think Safari gets 100 and Opera gets 100, I think. So Firefox being a close third, that's pretty good. So yay for Firefox standards. Improved in Beta 5 integration with Windows. New and improved Windows icons. Oh, I might have to install it and see. Integration with the Mac. It makes the toolbars, icons, and other user interfaces look like Mac OS. Okay. Uses widgets and support for Growl notifications of completed downloads and available updates. Oh, that's excellent. So, I don't know. It's starting to feel more like a finished product, because basically when Beta 1 came out, it was very, very slow on JavaScript and whatnot, but it's almost as fast as Firefox 2 now, so I have to do say I'm pretty proud of it. So, if you're interested, go take a look at it.
I'll wait till the final release is out.
Probably a good idea for non-developer users and whatnot, like people who don't need to test web pages and whatnot, or who aren't on the leading edge of technology to avoid betas. Okay, this is the point where Mac users get scared and run away and go hide in a closet.
Okay, bye.
You're not a Mac user, though.
Yes, I am.
But not 100%.
Oh, whatever.
Pwn to Own is over, which was basically a hacker conference. The MacBook Air got seized in under 2 minutes, whereas the Vista machine took longer and the Linux machine was not broken. So basically what happened is there was an exploit in Safari, which nobody really knows about yet, because it part of the whole conference was to keep any exploits hidden until the vendor can fix it, so that's good. Basically, what happened is with a malicious web page that the hacker created, it was able to take control of the entire system in a matter of minutes after going to this web page. So that's a pretty drastic problem. But keep in mind, this is only in Safari, so Firefox is probably safe. So it's always just, even though you're on a Mac, it's always good to just keep your shields and deflectors up, you know? So, just remember that. Another thing you could do is if you wanted to really, since macOS is based on BSD Unix, you could run it as a limited user easily, so why not? Just make another admin account and convert your account to limited user. You'll be a whole lot safer. Have you done that?
No.
Neither have I, but you really should. Ooh, I hear some typing going on.
I'm just typing.
You writing a letter?
No. We're done soon.
Earliest audio recording resurrected. Scares the genitals off us, apparently. That was the headline, so I'm not saying anything. I'm just quoting the headline. Audio historian David... How do you say this name?
In a second, I'm done now. Right.
Look at this name. Audio historian David...
Giovanni.
Giovanni?
Giovannoni.
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 Okay, thank you. And scientists at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory have discovered and brought back to life the first audio recording ever made, 17 years before Edison's patent. The 10-second snippet was made on a phonoautograph, a device that only recorded sounds and didn't play them back. So they had to do some voodoo to resurrect it and play it back, which you can hear on the clip.
What's the point of that?
It's history. It's history.
No, but I mean, what is the purpose of something that is made with the purpose of being able to record but not being able to play back?
Play it back in something else?
I'm sure. That defeats the purpose. But yeah, I've listened to the clip and it is rather eerie.
Here we go. I haven't listened to it yet.
That's like some sort of wailing. Does sound creepy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there's a picture at the end of the video.
Of what?
A person. You didn't see it?
No.
Look at it. There's a picture of a person with a missing eye.
Link me.
There's a person with a missing eye at the end of that.
Scares the genitals off, this. Wow, it must be scary to scare the genitals off.
See?
Where's the picture?
Just wait.
Oh, on the video?
Yeah. See?
Hang on a second. Jesus Christ. I think she likes you, Shane.
No. Anyway, so that's that. Rather interesting to listen to. That's the first recording that did lead to this technology eventually, so it's just a step back in history. Okay, first rant, Brad.
Le first rant. Oh, God damn it, I closed the wiki when I clicked on that. Can you please link me?
Bookmark the wiki.
I'll bookmark you if you're not careful. That is a threat. Right. Okay, first rant. Okay, first, I didn't know what RWT means before the updates, where they explained it. Second, I played for 3 years and went into many sites. All I saw was small adverts selling RS Gold, and I'm sure it's a scam. I never went to those websites because I'm too worried about losing this account. It may seem rubbish to you all, but it's my RS life. It's even a 3-year-old player. Didn't know what RWT was, and sure, then it sure isn't such a problem. Now, I know what it is. I can accept you did this, but think about the other loyal players. I don't know anybody who RWT'd, and I had many friends. I'm sure there are like one player on 5,000 RWT'd, if not less. I just feel sad that because of some people who didn't have anything to do in life, they pay real-life money for pixels. I can't say I'm a fan in earning money, but I would feel like a jerk to cheat. It's not right. What makes me the saddest is that because of that minority, everyone is penalized. I'm not English, so the orthograph isn't perfect, sorry.
What?
I'm not sure, but whatever. Imagine a small town, and one day a teen goes and steals a car. The teen is the RWTers, and then the whole city goes to jail. Isn't that almost the same thing? One person does bad things, everyone has to pay for it. I won't quit because who got more than the free trading were my friends. I gave some of my stuff when I was really rich. But it's nice to see the good things about this update. No one can hack you anymore, yay. Little smiley face with a D, exclamation mark. And no more scamming. I never got scammed, but some people it's a problem. I don't feel sad like crying, but sad like if something is missing inside of me. This is my rant. Thank you for reading. Okay, I can describe that rant in one word.
Okay,
incoherent.
Okay. You know, it does make sense that this is kind of a good analogy of the car and the city thing. But yeah, that's really what happens. You know, it's like when there's nothing that else could have been done, but they really should have come up with something else. Like, I don't know. Like, I might have done the same thing if I was in their shoes. I just don't know, you know? So, but still, this rant just coming up 4 months after the fact, 3 months after the fact, I don't know. So, I don't know. Are we done with that one?
I think so, but I think it's right. The basic message is that real world trading, it's the majority being punished for what the minority did, but whatever. I just liked it because it was funny.
Yeah, little kids tend to bring up those kind of things, like people getting punished for the majority, you know? But sadly,
that's not a little kid thing. That makes perfect sense.
I know, but that's just sadly how the world works.
Sadly how you work, Shane. Oh.
A lot of people have been stating that they don't support without explanation. State a reason or I will count it as a free bump, and thus you will be aiding the threat. Keep in mind, this is not about the combat triangle, so stop with these kind of posts. The combat is really messed up. I'm 126 combat, 99, 96, 99 melee stats with 99 hits. When I'm fighting somebody close to my level, or even as low as 101 with my best gear better than my opponent's, using supersets, piety, I somehow get hit more than I'm hitting. Now, the average level 101 Impere, I'd say, is around 80 stats. At 80 stats, you should hit less on 99 defense than 99 attack hits them. However, it's not like this. Said 101 in the tourney nearly destroyed me. 101 greater than 126? I don't think so. This is not the only time it happened. Somehow I dominate those higher stats than me, even if I had better fighting gear. I've seen many incidences of the same issue happening constantly throughout the dual arena tournaments. Now, the real problem is I see it as follows. Tournaments are ranked. Why should a player, because of luck rather than skill, be ranked further than a player who has the skill because they are unlucky? 2. A higher level, especially at this difference, should have a clear advantage. A 101, no matter what he does, when using the same combat stat, he should lose. Did I train all that experience to get beaten by a level 1? Did my max friends train their experience to get beaten by a non-maxed? Yes, in the case between the max player versus someone's stats like mine, the player with my stats will naturally win 1/3 to 3/8 all the time, but it should not be greater than that. Yes, some luck shouldn't be involved. It makes it interesting, but when the low levels win, it's not interesting. It's annoying. Thoughts? Comments?
Well, I think the combat in RuneScape is messed up to a degree, but it's always been that way. I mean, the manipulation of the combat stats.
I was just wearing my farming gear.
Yeah.
I was just wearing that. Mike was full armored. I managed to hit through his armor with a dragon axe. A 15.
Only a 15, though.
Yeah.
So, when were you doing this?
Just when he was testing his god sword.
Okay. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting if you could actually see more into their combat system, but they don't. Like that,
JK. Yeah, I know. Like, there's, as long as I feel it doesn't, like, isn't it public knowledge now what the formula is?
I think so, yeah. Well, what is the formula?
I'm not telling you. You just tell me what you think. No?
What do you mean?
Okay, never mind then. But it's a simple linear formula that really shouldn't be too hard to guess if you have some math background. So, it's not that hard to guess, but I don't know, it's just the way JX is, you know?
I don't mean just adding the combat level, I mean the whole what hits for what, how much armor has.
There's no reason why that shouldn't be public, you know? It's public
exactly
knowledge.
It should be.
I can see why they want to keep the combat formula secret, but, you know, there's really not much to do when sites have calculators like our site, you know? So, I don't know, but it would be nice to know, like, see what's going on underneath, but I guess that would overcomplicate things, maybe? I don't know. So, I'm just rambling, aren't I, about something that I want to happen but never won't because I'm interested in those kind of little deep numerical analysis things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, unless you have anything else to say with this. I'm done with this one.
No, I have nothing else to say.
Okay. On to other things. New Informer is out. Informer.rsbnb.com. Take a read. RuneScape articles this month. We're doing some restructuring. So if you're interested in writing or if you have any suggestions, fill out an application. Well, only fill out an application if you're interested in writing about RuneScape updates, tech, or gaming. So fill out an application and check out the Informer forums, which is forums.rsbnb.com, then just click on RSBNB Informer. you'll see the topic for this month's updates and also the topic for our application hiring process. So our April Fools went out, sort of tricked the wrong demographic, I think. We got the update people when we really didn't want to get them. We meant to get the forum people, but not the update people.
It was a reverse thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, we'll have to try harder next year.
Yeah. Just something that's not so obvious, eh?
Boy, yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Hindsight's always 20/20. Halo event this weekend, as Brad was talking about. You going to be there?
Yeah.
So, we're going to apparently be trying some new game types or something.
According to the post.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going. Like, you know, this is another problem with console games. They say create your own game types, but it's so limited. You need a computer to, like... You really... I just really feel that consoles are limited in that sense. Do you remember that flowchart about true gaming? There was a thing.
Yeah.
Do you like true gaming? If yes, buy a PC. No? And it goes into the other ones. Then there was another one. Do you have real life friends? If you said yes, that was a Wii. If you said no, then it was either 360 or PS3. It says, do you have online friends? Yes, that's 360. And if you don't have any friends at all, that's the PS3. On this little flowchart.
Okay, that's offensive to everybody but computer users, and computer users are all assholes. Computer gamers, I mean.
I got a good laugh out of that.
You laugh at most things. You laugh at anything I say. That tells you how, you know, your threshold for comedy.
Okay, what's next? Oh, yeah. New skill of the month underway. Slayer this month. Rather interesting. Never been Slayer before, so should be interesting to see the experience distribution on these. So far, it's wow. Look at it.
Oh, I can't.
Everyone, oh my god, this is a record. 33 signups.
Link to me.
rsbnb.com/skotm.
Don't want to.
But, wow, this month should be very interesting. Right now, Anubis is winning, then PFK99s, then X-Blades.
Oh, you linked me just as I typed it. So who's currently in the lead?
Anubis.
It's close, though.
Yeah.
But, okay. Now, hang on a second. I was looking at Star XP. That was misleading.
Yeah.
XP gains, so, yes.
But yeah. Average XPs, big range there. But should be interesting to see how it goes out. Huge list of people. The most ever. Next to fishing in June of last year. So, very
interesting. Which I was going to enter until I realized that there were about 20 other people who were going to no life all month. I was like, oh, screw this.
You would have got 99.
Would have.
So, what have we been up to?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
I've been coding in C. Virtual memory analysis. Quick sorts, heap sorts, the like. Great fun, really, until you come across a segmentation fault, you know, and your program decides it needs to take a memory dump.
Oh, and, yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Taking a dump.
It's just so annoying, that little aspect, programming in C, but it's something that's got to be done, seeing that C is such a low-level and fast, efficient language. I don't know, it's fun. I gotta go write some stuff up about it now and some graphs, run some tests. So on that note, I think we should call episode 147 done.
Done.
It's been RSBNB Update 147 with Brad.
Brad.
Said by Brad.com. And
I can't remember my own name, Shane. You don't have to tell me.
See ya, everyone.